Ba-da-da-ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba. Fantasy Lunchbox. Hey, fantasy fans. Welcome to the Fantasy Lunchbox, your quick rundown for all things fantasy football related. Jumping right into things, fantasy draft season has begun. There's only 21 more days until week one and plenty of decisions to be made. So, to help you in your draft, I'm doing a quick rundown, round by round, of who to target and who to avoid. Round one. You probably won't get him unless you're one of your first picks in the draft, but if somehow he does fall to you, take him without a second thought. Who am I talking about? Antonio Brown. I'm not going to talk much about him, since most people already know he is the guy. He has not only one of the highest floors, but also one of the highest ceilings. If Ben stays healthy for a full 16 games, expect some sparks to fly. Now, if you're picking later in the first round, your decision gets a little harder. Most of the tier 1 wide receivers will be gone, so you'll have a choice between a tier 2 wide receiver or taking a stab at a tier 1 running back. The problem with that, most of the round 1 running backs have some pretty significant downsides. But there is one guy whose downside isn't quite that bad. That guy is Lamar Miller. His downside is that he's going to get the ball too freaking much. Last year, Miller was one of the top running backs on a per-carry basis, but was criminally underused by Miami coaches. Now, concerns say they won't be able to handle the workload this year, but if that's the guy's problem, then I'm all in. This year, he's in Houston and looks to pick up where Arian Foster left off. On one of the most run-heavy offenses, Miller's going to be used in the running and the receiving game. Along with showing that he has elite-level talent, he's as close as a sure thing as it comes. Now, here's the avoids. First guy you got to avoid in round one is Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott has a lot of things going for him to justify his round one draft price. He's behind the best O-line in the league, and he's been thrust right into the starting role. The only downside is this isn't the first time that we've seen strong players come out of college only to flounder. Melvin Gordon from just last year is a good example. If you like high risk, high reward, then go for him. But you have a lot of low risk, high reward players going right around him. Second up for the avoids, Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins last year was a fantasy breakout. Often he's being taken as the fourth player off the board. Hopkins really is a good player, and I don't want to diss him or anything, but last year's numbers were held aloft by an absurd number of targets. This year, there'll be better receivers, and the ball's going to get spread around a lot more. The running game looks to have improved, and even though Hopkins is QB-proof, here's an interesting stat to think about. Last year, Demaryius Thomas averaged 30 less yards per game underneath Brock Osweiler than Peyton Manning. Hopkins is a great player, but I'd hold off until the end of the round before biting. Entering into round two, I'm going to start off with Mark Ingram. He ran strong all last year, and there's no reason he shouldn't continue. He finishes as a top 15 running back in only 12 games, and he was on pace to be a top 5 back. He's the workhorse in New Orleans, and he's planned to get even more work in the passing game this year. If you're in a PPR league, he has a significant advantage over other running backs. At the end of round two, he has just as much upside as the guys in round one. The next player to keep an eye out for is Keenan Allen. To the same effect, Allen has a ton of upside. Last year, he had a freak kidney injury, ending the season early. But until that point, he was on pace to be a solid wide receiver one. He'll have plenty of volume on the team with the second most pass attempts from 2015. The Chargers' offensive line is back, and during the offseason, they added burner Travis Benjamin, who should open the field and give Allen much more room to work. Now, on to the avoids. I'm going to get some groans here, but this guy just dropped so many passes, and he only has one good year underneath his belt, but I'm going with avoid Mike Evans. Last year, he finished as wide receiver 25, and he should bounce back from there, but the Bucs have the toughest wide receiver schedule in all of the league this year. He isn't a hard avoid, but I feel that other picks just have more upside and a higher floor. Now, a lot of people have him ranked differently, but for me personally, I'll let someone else deal with it. Another person I'll let someone else deal with is Devontae Freeman. I already talked about him in my last podcast, but he's just another precautionary don't draft. Freeman finished as the number one running back last year, but besides a four-game stretch, he didn't really look like it. The coaches love backup Tevin Coleman, and I've talked about getting him the ball more and Freeman less. Freeman's one of those players who will probably match his draft price, but it's hard to imagine surpassing it, and it's quite easy to see him underperforming. For me, he's a hard pass. Moving on to round three. Who you should get? The Denver offense. Both Demaryius Thomas and CJ Anderson. Whether you need a running back or a wide receiver, these guys should be solid picks in the third round. Demaryius Thomas has been a stud over the last couple years. Last year he had over 1,300 yards underneath Osweiler and noodle-armed Manning. While you should be afraid of Sanchez, he shouldn't be bad enough to kill DT's value. Even if he loses some yards, you can expect his touchdowns to increase, and for him to be a possible top 10 wide receiver at under top 10 price. As for CJ Anderson, he's looked great when he wasn't injured. While this is a tentative grab, he's a ton of upside in Gary Kubiak's offense. Denver paid him and they plan to use him. I think his injuries held him back last year and he looked great in the playoffs. But if you don't think CJ Anderson is actually talented, don't buy into him. Who to avoid? This is the most overrated player in all of fantasy this year, I think. Kelvin Benjamin. He had a good rookie season numbers-wise, but he dropped the ball a ton. This year the Panthers have far more options at receiver. Not only do they still have Greg Olsen, but Devin Funchess is an up-and-coming star in their offense. With Ted Ginn still there running the deep ball, I don't think Benjamin's going to get all the forced targets that he had before. Not to mention, he showed up out of shape, and he's coming back from an injury. He's not a complete avoid, but his value does not match his round 3 price tag. In round 4, I think there's some great value with Jeremy Hill as a bounce-back candidate. He's certainly not a sure thing, but he has a huge upside. He was drafted last year in the first round, and he underperformed horribly. I kept mentioning players here that have a low floor, so you should avoid them. Well, Hill's floor is propped up by the coaches. I mean, he underperformed for the whole season last year, yet he kept getting the ball. He finished as running back 14 last year after having an atrocious year. You expect him to shape up from last year and definitely justify his round 4 price tag. Who to avoid? Carlos Hyde. He's another return from injury player on a weak offense who has one of the harder running back schedules in the league. Hyde has a lot of question marks on a team that won't have many scoring opportunities. Expect the 49ers to trail often and Carlos's upside to be pretty limited. In round 5, the targets? Greg Olsen. In my opinion, the only safe tight end besides Gronk, he should repeat near his last year's numbers while having more people to draw coverage from him. Expect him to end the year as a top tight end, while all the picks after him, their floor becomes pretty bottomless. He does happen to be my favorite player though, so you can just ignore everything I just said. My other pick in round 5, Dante Moncrief. He's a high upside receiver on what should be a high powered offense. Don't be surprised if Moncrief has more targets than even T.Y. Hilton. The Colts look to make him occupy more of a possession role this season, and Andrew Luck always looks to him whenever the plays break down. He should be a factor in the red zone after catching 5 touchdowns in the 7 games that Luck participated in last year. Moncrief is more than a solid pick in the 5th round. My avoids? Arian Foster. This one's been hard for me. I love the guy. I'm a huge Houston fan, and he's done amazing in the past. But this year he's just completely undraftable. He's coming back from injury, he's on a new team, he's getting old, the Dolphins, well, they're not good, okay? And they have one of the hardest schedules for running back this year. It's all downsides. With so many players around him who don't have as many red flags, if you take him, it's going to be a waste of a pick. Getting into round 6, possibly the best value in the draft, Frank Gore. He has a medium ceiling, but a high floor. Last year was a horrible year for the Colts, yet he still finishes the number 11 running back. Now that Andrew looks back, they should be able to pass the ball, and there won't be 8 men stacked in the box every single time. Look for Gore to repeat his at least 1,000 yards, and be one hell of a candidate for touchdowns in the red zone. Not bad for a round 6 pick. Who to avoid? Josh Gordon. Now Reddit's going to kill me for this, but his upside is over-exaggerated, and his floor is literally zero. If he's caught doing drugs one more time, he's gone forever. Now, his upside? Wide receiver 2? I mean, you could say he's going to return back to his 2013 wide receiver 1 record-breaking self, but no signs point to that. He showed up out of shape, he's got a 4-game suspension, everything that's going along with this guy is only bad. If you like Russian roulette, then this guy's for you, but he's too high stakes for me. Entering into round 7, Tyler Lockett. He's an explosive player, and he should continue to become more involved in the offense. It's now absurd to think that he ends the season as the number 1 wide receiver in Seattle. He has all the upside of Baldwin, but for 3 rounds later. An offense that looks to turn more to passing the ball this year, expect Lockett to be a breakout candidate. Another good target in round 7, Amir Abdullah. With Joik Bell gone, he's the lead back on the team. He averaged 4.2 yards per carry last year, and if he continues to do so, it'll make him at least a flex, probably a running back too. Now, the Lions don't like to run, but they have one of the easiest schedules for it. For this late of a pick, grabbing a bell cow back is great value. Who to avoid in round 7? Tyler Eifert. Last year, he was fantasy gold, at least until he got hurt. But he's been consistently plagued by injuries his whole career, and he's already poised to miss games at the start of the season. He was incredibly touchdown reliant last year, and even if he returns, expect touchdown regression. Round 8. Marvin Jones. Now we're getting to some real upside, guys. With the loss of Calvin Johnson, there are plenty of points to go around in Detroit. Jones put up a solid stat line last year for the Bengals and had 10 touchdowns back in 2013 before his foot injury. Detroit will have a bounce attack through the air, and Jones has the possibility to step up as the team's wide receiver 1. He's nearly assured to be at his ADP and a great pick in round 8. Who to avoid? Jay Ajayi, the other Miami running back. He's just not good, he hasn't done anything good, and he'll be sharing carries on a team that already won't run the ball when they're behind the whole time. Avoid. Round 9. Torrey Smith, a wide receiver 1 on a team that will be behind often. Chip Kelly's always done good with his wide receivers, and he should get the ball far more times than other wide receivers going around here. He looks to be a high upside pick whose floor matches his ADP. Another pick for round 9, LeGarrette Blount. He's less of a year-long option and more of just a good pick if you took Le'Veon early. Instead of D'Angelo's crazy price, Blount should see a good amount of work while Brady's suspended. The Patriots should run the ball more often, and he looks to be a good replacement without wasting your 6th round pick. The voids? Jimmy Graham. This guy's likely done for his career. I hate to say it, but I don't see him bouncing back. His injury was a bad one, and frankly, I'm amazed he's going to play again. He didn't play good for the Seahawks last year, even before his injury. Even in round 9, I don't think the upside's there, and there are better picks to take. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to clump the rest of the guys into one big group and run through the last couple rounds quickly. Once we get out here, most of them are just shots in the dark anyway, but some picks with upside. Travis Benjamin. He's a high-upside burner on a pass-heavy offense. Expect him to have a couple great weeks and have an okay floor. Running back handcuff, Chris Johnson. If David Johnson doesn't live up to his hype, Chris will be a sure thing to get work in a strong offense. Next up, Stephen Gostkowski, New England kicker. Now, most people laugh at me because I just mentioned a kicker, but it's worth noting that he's the most consistent player in fantasy. Don't reach for him too early, take him as late as you can, but he is worth taking. On average, over the last 3 years, he scored 21 points more than the number 6 kicker. That's the difference between a wide receiver 3 and a wide receiver 2. Another good late-round investment, Jerick McKinnon. Adrian Peterson, while a complete stud, is getting pretty old. He's already falling in drafts. Well, not falling, but he's not going number 1 overall anymore. And if he does regress, McKinnon could be the guy to step up. If anything bad happens to AP, McKinnon's already showed that he has a ton of talent and can handle all the passing work. While we're on handcuffs, Christian Michael. He looked great in the first preseason game. Thomas Rawls is already coming back from injury, and if he doesn't perform, Christian Michael could become a thing. I know there's a stupid hype joke around him, but Christian Michael should go drafted in all leagues. My last late round target, Bruce Ellington for the 49ers. He looked pretty good during offseason, and he's going to be the slot receiver on Chip Kelly's offense, a player who's always done good in the past. He has really good value for being drafted in Foreverland, and if you're in a return yard league, this guy's going to be a fantasy stud. Think Tyler Lockett 2.0. Well, that's it for my quick rundown. Hopefully I've helped. That's it for today. Until next time, I'm Corey Kasurik, and this is the Fantasy Lunchbox.